are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Thursday, November 21st. And on the program today, starting in segment two, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View is going to be on with me. We're going to talk Giants. We're going to talk, basically try to figure out where they are and where they're headed. So, always good to get some different perspectives, and Ed always has some great ones to share, and he did so in this particular interview. Before we get to that, though, just want a quick rundown, the Giants opening injury report, a few notables here that I want to point out. As of Wednesday, tight ends Red Ellison, who is still in the protocol, and Evan Ingram, who has the foot injury, did not practice Wednesday. Nate Solder, left tackle, was listed as limited. He is in the non-contact portion of the concussion protocol. Center John Jalapio with the hamstring. Janoris Jenkins, who is in the protocol. Mike Remmers with back. And Sterling Shepard with the concussion protocol. All full participants. Now, a few thoughts about this injury situation. The tight ends, I am not counting on either Ellison or Ingram being available, which means Scott Simonson and Caden Smith are probably going to be the two starters against the Bears. They are going up against Khalil Mack, a guy who last week the Rams shut off the stat sheet. I mean, how they did it was just, you know, basically they kept this guy from wrecking the backfield. So I am, you know, as I sit down and I start to get ready to do the matchups for this game and, you know, what to be concerned with and everything like that, Ellison and Ingram being absent leaves Smith and Simonson to do the blocking, you know, to chip block or, you know, take on Mack and company from getting into the backfield. Now, this is important to note because there is a chance, albeit, you know, we'll see what happens, but if Nate Solder is not available to go, that means they would probably have to move either Nick Gates over to that left side, or Eric Smith will probably move to that side as well. So, what does that mean? That means that we could have a very interesting matchup there to keep an eye on. It's going to be very interesting to see how the coaching staff goes about keeping the Bears defense and especially their edge rushers like Mack off of the backfield. You could say what you want about Nate Solder and how he struggled this year. And I personally believe that's due to an injury that he maybe is trying to play through. I suspect his ankle is not 100% and it's been giving him problems. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little concerned about the injury situation, because again, I do not think that the Giants are going to be able to hold Khalil Mack to nothing as far as the stat sheet goes. And very curious to see how they play that out. A couple of other things on this injury report. Head coach Pat Shurmur reiterated what he said Monday, that if his starting offensive linemen, Jalapio and Remmers, both of whom have struggled this year, if they are healthy, they are going to play. And okay, look, I get it. You want to win games. You got to, you know, you're on a 6-game losing streak, but I don't know. At what point do you just say to yourself, look, let's see what we got moving forward? I mean, was Spencer Pulley that bad that you're going to pull him? You know, was Nick Gates that bad that you want to go back to Remmers? I just feel like they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're trying to win games, but at the same time, you know, it's like, okay, you know, the season, there's nothing really to play for other than pride at this point. So it's just, you know, it's a head scratcher to me, I guess. Sterling Shepard, let's talk about him. He is in the advanced stages of the protocol. My understanding is he, along with Janoris Jenkins, will be visiting an independent neuro consultant later in the week to receive final clearance to return. Now, if you've listened or read me, you know that I believe they should shut Sterling Shepard down for the rest of the year. Why put this kid at risk for another concussion, you know, or aggravating his symptoms? That's what happened last time. You know, he was cleared. He was all set to return. And lo and behold, the kid experienced the symptoms again and had to go back into the protocol. I admire him for wanting to get out there and not baby himself. But, you know, at some point you got to be smart and you just got to, you know, play it cautiously. I mean, I tend to err on the side of caution. And I'm not saying that you baby yourself, but when you're talking about a head injury, just such a huge gamble. And I just really hope that you know, Shepard in wanting to play, and, you know, he's told me that he wants to get back out there. I just hope he's doing the right thing, because I just would hate to see him have to get dinged again. And that would basically be the end of him if he were to get dinged again. I can't see them continuing this song and dance with him the rest of the year. I think he goes on injured reserve. One final note I want to mention, kind of going back to my thing on the tight ends. If you get a chance, visit the Maven, the Giants Maven, at si.com/NFL/Giants. We have up there, courtesy of Bobby Skinner, who does a really good job breaking down film for us, we have up there a breakdown of what Scott Simonson brings back to the Giants. Now, Simonson, of course, was with the Giants last year. Then in the preseason, he suffered that injury. He got an injury settlement, and he was re-signed when Ingram went down with the foot injury. Bobby Skinner did a really good job just kind of reminding us as to, you know, what kind of a blocker Simonson is and what kind of, you know, threat in the receiving game he can be. So if you do get a chance, check that out. It's, you know, I think it's really good reading ahead of the game against the Chicago Bears. And speaking of the Bears, their injury report had five guys on it. Tight end Adam Shaheen with a foot injury, and linebacker Danny Trevathan, elbow injury, did not participate on Wednesday. Isaiah Irving, a linebacker, was limited. And quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, who has the hip pointer, and offensive line Bobby Massey, who has a back injury, were both full participants in practice. All right, Giant fans, stay tuned. We're going to take our first break, and then when we come back, Ed Valentine joins me, and we talk about just where it is this Giants team is headed. So we'll be back after this. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep on walking? Well, of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Well, if you want to start putting money in your pocket, check out MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as whom you're betting on. And when you bet with MyBookie, the options are endless. For example, did you know that MyBookie allows you to bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Or if you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. And when you join MyBookie now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will double your first deposit. So go on and visit mybookie.ag. And don't forget, use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the special offer for new users. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. I'm joined now by Ed Valentine of Big Blue View in what's become a weekly chat. Ed, I tell you, this is better than nothing. You know, we used to chat every day, and to have the opportunity to chat once a week, it's been therapeutic for me.
There you go, Patty. You know, do I get a fee for being your therapist?
I don't know if there's enough money in the world for that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'll take some money, Patty. Some's better than none.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Isn't that how the saying goes, right?
There you go.
So, So anyway, Ed, what I wanted to talk about is, like, you know, the Giants are out of the bye week, obviously. They're getting ready for Chicago. And I just kind of want to talk about where things are right now, where they need to be. And I think where we need to start is at the beginning of the year, I think even going beyond that, John Mara spoke about wanting to see progress. And Pat Shurmur the other day, and he had said this before the bye week, he had said it after the bye week, he said when he looks at the football team, he sees, and I'm paraphrasing here, good football being played, it's just mistakes that are popping up and that are keeping the team from really moving forward. When you look at this team, Ed, is there progress being made on any level?
Oh, Patty, I think the way that I have looked at this question is, I think there's progress being made on the roster itself. All right. And now that progress might be marginal because we can go through the roster and go up and down and say they're still weak at this position. They still don't have enough offensive line depth. The secondary's weak, whatever you want to say. But when I look at the roster, I feel better about this roster than I did at the end of 2017. And the reason why I feel better is because John Mara used to speak about that young core, that group that was missing, those guys that you wanted to give second contracts to, the ones who could become your leadership, you know, your foundation of your football team. The end of 2017, I think you could argue that the Giants really didn't have anyone or very few players who fit into that category. I think now, whether we can argue about the talent at various positions, I think now you can argue that there's at least part of that core in place. You feel better about this roster going forward. So in that sense, I would say some progress has been made. Where you can't argue that progress has been made is actually on the field. 2-8 this year versus 1-7 or whatever. I think it was, might have been 2-8, 2-9 last year. They're going to have a hard time winning 5 games this year. You just can't argue that progress is being made on the field. And that's the problem, is that it's not a championship roster, but I don't see progress on the field that equals the talent that I think they have on the roster.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ed. And, you know, if you're John Mara and you sit down at the end of the year with Dave Gettleman and with Shurmur, the question now becomes, okay, did we make the type of progress that was expected? And now John never defined what he meant by progress. We can assume that he meant, you know, a better one loss record. We can assume he meant better play. I mean, any number of things. But how hard do you think it's going to be for Gettleman and Mara to sit down and say, okay, we are definitely headed in the right direction, or we're not quite headed in the direction we want to be, so we're going to have to make a change somewhere on this coaching staff or whatever?
Well, I think some changes are going to have to be made, Patty, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the final 6 games. If you go 2-14, it's going to be hard for anybody to argue that progress has been made. Let's say they go 3-3 over their last 6 games, finish the season 5-11, you know, like they did a year ago, or even 4-12. They can argue that, well, we did that with a rookie quarterback, we did that with a completely revamped defense, and we think we found, you know, Daniel Jones, and we think we found Dexter Lawrence, and we think we found a couple of players, you know, in addition to Dexter Lawrence, who can be pieces on the defense. They can argue that they made progress that way, but it's just hard for me right now to see progress in the way that they're actually playing, in the way that the personnel is being utilized. So whether that ends up costing Pat Shurmur his job, I don't know. I think if that decision was being made today, I think Pat Shurmur comes back next year, but there have to be some sort of changes made.
Let's stick on that topic for a moment, how the personnel is being utilized. Now, because Shermer, obviously, I think when he's talking about progress, he's talking about what he sees on film. And I want to go back to Daniel Jones for a moment here specifically. We have talked about, you know, where have been the trips, for example? Why haven't they had more rollouts and whatnot? How much of that do you think is a result of Shermer trying to keep things simple for the rookie quarterback as he gets his feet wet, trying to read these defenses and as well as execute more complex plays?
Well, Patty, I think you might argue that he's trying to keep it simple for Jones. But on the other hand, if he's trying to keep it simple for Jones, you've got all of these young quarterbacks coming into the league who have mobility, who've all gone through the zone read kind of stuff, you know, and now Daniel Jones is not Lamar Jackson. But if you're trying to keep it simple for Jones, then let's let him use his legs a little bit more often. Let's encourage him to pull that ball out once in a while and use his legs two or three times a game to make a play, you know, rather than just pound the ball up the middle or whatever else they're going to do with it. So I guess you can make that argument, but you still have to run a professional offense and give your guys a chance to score.
Indeed. And, we look at Saquon Barkley, you know, who, let's face it, I mean, the ankle injury has turned Saquon Barkley from a super, a top tier type of running back to a good one, but, you know, a guy who has clearly struggled. Where do you see progress being made from him? And I know it's tough, you know, he's got the injury, but the pass blocking has gone absolutely in the opposite direction. Part of that, I think, is because of the ankle, but, what's your level of concern there?
Well, here's my level of concern with Saquon Barkley, Patty. What was the complaint about Saquon at the very beginning of last year? And what was the scouting report as good as he was coming out of Penn State? The scouting report was, you know, that he was sort of home run or bust, that he was a guy who would hit the home run, make the big spectacular play every so often, but that he wasn't a guy who was going to stick his nose in there and get you the three or four hard yards, get you, you know, the runs in between the tackles. And as the year went on last year, I can't remember what term Pat Shermer used for that, but they really emphasized with Saquon, you know, when you get up inside, you know, get up there, you know, get your shoulders square and take the 3 yards if that's all that's there. And I think my concern with Saquon, in addition to the fact that he's obviously not 100% healthy, is that I think as this year has gone on, I think we've seen regression from him in the idea of, hey, if this looks like a 2 yard run, take the 2 yard run. Don't turn it into a 3 yard loss. I think we've seen too much of that. And in addition to his health, I think that's the thing that concerns me, you know, particularly about Saquon is just get him back to the fact that it's okay to take a 2 yard run once in a while, if that's all that's there.
Yeah, indeed. And I'll add to that, Ed, the run blocking has not been as sharp as I think it could have been. I think that's a big factor that nobody's really talking about.
No, but on the flip side of that, Patty, it's funny that you bring that up, because I had a conversation with someone not that long ago who said that he was actually watching the Jet game, where we know that Saquon had, you know, 1 yard on 13 carries, which is embarrassing for an NFL running back, especially one the stature of Saquon Barkley. And the concern that was emphasized to me was that this person I spoke to said there were places to run that he just didn't hit. You know, and that concerns me, because you wonder how healthy he is. You wonder if he's hesitant, you know, with the ankle. And again, you know, it comes back to, you know, looking for the home run instead of taking the 2 or 3 yards.
Indeed, Edward. And, you know, I think if we look at progress from a football perspective, you know, not just, you know, taking it beyond the roster. Also got to look at the play of Darius Slayton. I mean, this is a kid who, and I remember we were standing there watching him early on. The kid couldn't catch a cold. And then he had the injury issue, but he started to get better, better, better. The injury struck, and now he's like proving to be, I guess, their only deep threat.
He is at this point, Patty. I was watching the game the other day, and at times it was like the whole Giant offense was Jones to Slayton, Jones to Slayton, Jones to Slayton. It was like it wasn't that long ago when we thought the whole Giant offense was Eli to Odell, you know, and I was like, this is the same thing. The whole offense is quarterback to wide receiver, and they've got nothing else going on. But, you know, think about Darius Slayton, fifth round pick, guy who had the reputation of not being a great route runner, maybe not having great hands. But when is the last time, I was looking this up the other day, the last time you can say that the Giants hit a home run on day three of the NFL draft was probably 2007 with Ahmad Bradshaw. That's how long it's been, 12 years now, since they really hit a home run on day three. And maybe Slayton is finally that guy.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ed. They have struggled, and really those day three guys are the ones that build up your depth and you know, give you a more of a solid foundation. And let's take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about this topic, and we'll touch a little bit on the defense, which we haven't really covered.
Hey, Giant fans. Long day at work? Still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and get your food delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, joined by Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. And we're trying to define what progress means for this Giants team. Obviously, a 2-8 record, not what anybody was hoping for, not exactly what you would call progress. But, you know, Pat Shurmur has been talking about how he has seen things that, you know, are encouraging to him from a football perspective. And Ed, let's talk about some of those things on the defensive side of the ball. What stands out to you most about the defense, which has otherwise really struggled this year?
Well, I think there's two players, Patty. Marcus Golden, who has given the Giants a pass rush presence. Now, Marcus Golden is not Khalil Mack. He's not Von Miller. He's not one of the top, you know, four or five pass rushers in the league. But he gives the Giants a presence out there. He gives the Giants someone who can get to the quarterback. He was a one-year prove-it signing, and I think he's shown plenty for the Giants to want to make sure that he comes back a season from now as part of the solution on that defense going forward. And I think the more we see of Dexter Lawrence, I think the more it's more and more difficult to make an argument that selecting him at 17, you know, wasn't the right thing for the Giants to do, because this kid is obviously, you know, much more than just an enormous, you know, run stopper that you stick in the middle of your defense. I think he's really just scratching the surface of what he can do. And I think you have to really be excited about his future.
Now, we talked about Saquon on the offensive side, Saquon being a second-year player. Let's talk about some of the second-year players on the defensive side of the ball and how they kind of, you know, where they're at, you know. And I'm thinking Dalvin's a third-year guy, but B.J. Hill, who seems to have lost snaps to Leonard Williams, Lorenzo Carter. Is another guy, you know, and we can't really count Sam Beal because he hasn't gotten on the field, but let's stick with those two guys. Where do you see them? I mean, have they made the type of progress that makes you say, okay, you know, they're headed on the right path?
Well, I think that maybe with Carter, Patty, but, you know, it's interesting. You've heard this before. You know, NFL people will tell you that players generally make their biggest leaps in terms of production, in terms of knowledge, in all of those things. They make their biggest leaps from their first year to the second year. And I think that you can argue with pretty much with the entire 2018 draft class that we haven't seen that huge leap from, you know, from guy who was a good rookie, you know, to a guy whose play screams, you know, superstar, Pro Bowler, All Pro. I don't think we've seen it from anybody. We obviously, you know, Saquon's had injury issues. Even Will Hernandez on the offensive side of the ball has been good, but maybe not what we thought he might be. Lorenzo Carter has shown some improvement, but I think the Giants were counting on him to be their number one guy on defense, their number one guy off the edge. They were counting on him to be their game wrecker. And he's a nice player. He's a nice piece to a defense, but we don't see any signs of that. And B.J. Hill, I mean, the answer is that each week his number of snaps seems to go down. So obviously the Giants aren't seeing the kind of progress from him that they would like to see. So it's a little bit disappointing, you know, when you look at that really promising 2018 draft class. It's a little bit disappointing for me that none of them have really made that leap that you were hoping for.
What about the coaching, Ed? I mean, we put it all on the players, and obviously they're the ones who do all the grunt work on the field, but they have to be put into the right position to be successful. Do you see progress having been made from Shurmur's first, you know, go round last year, when, remember, a lot of those guys he was working with for the first time, now he's had a full year plus to work with these guys? I mean, do you see better cohesiveness and just an overall, you know, the arrow pointing in the right direction, or is it just, you know, falling short?
I don't think you do see progress in that area, Patty. And it's a concern, because you would hope, you know, offensively, you would hope to see better use of Saquon Barkley. It's funny, just earlier today I was studying, I had this impression that against the Jets, the Giants just tried to keep going over and over and over, right up the middle, behind a backup center, incidentally, you know, in the run game. And I checked the stats on one of your favorite websites, NFL Savant, and I think out of 16 run plays, I think 12 or 13 of those were run either right behind Spencer Pulley or in between the guards. And that bothered me, because that's not what Saquon Barkley does best. I think we see over and over again, we see Evan Engram used when he's healthy on these little short drag routes across the field, rather than sent vertically a little bit more often, where he could really use his speed to make some big plays. I think defensively, we always question, you know, what are they doing in the secondary? Why are they playing so much zone that requires all of this communication and passing players off from one area or one player to another, with all of these young, inexperienced players that were brought in because of their man-to-man cover abilities? So no, I'm not sure that these guys are being used to their best capabilities at all.
Do you think that might stem from a lack of the Dave Gettleman and company not being necessarily on the same page with the coach? I know that was something you and I used to talk about all the time, with Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and staff not being on the same page. Do you think maybe there's some of that going on here?
Defensively, Patty, I would say no. Defensively, I would say that I think that, you know, James Betcher brought a system to the Giants that was different than what they had run previously, the 3-4 to the 4-3, you know, a different defensive philosophy. And you look at the number of former Arizona Cardinals, you know, on that defense over the past couple of years. I think the Giants have gone out of their way to give James Betcher everything that they could on the defensive side of the ball. And it's hard on offense. It's hard to say, because the Giants, You know, when have they put a fully healthy unit together all season? You know, some of the things that we see on offense drive me a little bit crazy, but it's also hard to know what this offense would look like if it was intact. So, yeah, so I question, I mean, I don't know that there's some sort of discord between, you know, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur. I'm just confused by a lot of the personnel usage that I see. So I'm not sure what the answer is there.
Well, let me ask you this then. You talked about there has to be some kind of change at the end of the year, which I think we can all agree on. Does that change include sweeping out the staff, including Shurmur, or does it just include tweaking the coaching staff and maybe, you know, telling Shurmur, hey, you can't call the plays anymore? I mean, at this point, do you want to start over again after only 2 years with the staff?
Well, Patty, you know the Mara family and you know the Tisch family and the way that the Giants have always done business. I think as we sit here today, I think that Giants ownership, the last thing in the world they want to do, I think at this point, is sweep Pat Shurmur out and start over again. You know how much they value stability, how much they want to, you know, to run a stable organization, how much they value loyalty and all of those things. They don't want massive sweeping change again. So as we sit here today, I would anticipate changes underneath Shurmur. I would anticipate maybe an offensive coordinator that Pat's more comfortable with, someone he's more familiar with than Mike Shula, you know, maybe to bounce ideas off of. Maybe you change up, you know, maybe you look at a different offensive line coach. I mean, there's a lot of chatter about how good of a coach Hal Hunter is. I think you look at that defensive staff and you may have to start over completely on the defensive side of the ball if we continue to see the kind of confusion that we've seen through the first 10 games. But I think the Giants are really not at this point ready to move on from Pat Shurmur. I think they'd like to give him another year to see if they can get it right. But I mean, that said, if you go 2-14 or 3-13, then it's kind of hard to make the argument that Pat is getting the Giants headed in the right direction.
Indeed. And Ed, as we get ready for these last six games or so, what are you expecting to see from this team? And what do you think they can still give, considering that there's been no significant changes made? You know, at the very least, what we'll see is maybe a couple guys getting some snaps that maybe weren't getting them before. So what do you think we can expect?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, Pat Shurmur was asked the other day about major changes, and he said, you know, he said, you know, really, how many major changes can you make at this point in the season? You know, the fact of the matter is they put these schemes in, they made these decisions starting way back in the spring as to how they were going to play, what their offense was going to look like, what the defense was going to look like. So they've been doing this for months now. It's not really possible in the space of a couple of days to throw all of that out and start with something new. So I think all we can hope for is to look at these young players that we've continued to talk about, to look at Daniel Jones, to look at Darius Slayton, to look at Nick Gates if we get an opportunity to see him play a little bit more, to look at some of these young defenders and see if they make progress in becoming guys that can be pieces, you know, heading into 2020 that the Giants can go forward with and hopefully have a brighter future with. You know, for me, I don't know that it matters at this point how many games they win or lose. I mean, it may matter to Pat Shurmur's future, but other than that, I'm not sure that it matters all that much how many games they win or lose. You'd just like to see them, you know, in games maybe against Miami and in Washington, games where you feel like they should be competitive and should win. You'd like to see them win those games, but it's mostly just about these young guys showing you that they can help going forward.
And if they don't show that they can help going forward. If they're not competitive against the Miamis and the Washingtons, it's going to get even uglier. If we think it's been ugly so far, I mean, I can just imagine how much more tense it's going to be around that team. And, you know, just something I don't want to think about.
I still think I have burn marks from John Mara walking by me the other night after the Jets game. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want to see what's going to happen if they don't win any more games this year.
Oh, he was smoking. He had smoke coming out of his ears. That's for sure. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, you remember back when they lost to Jacksonville that time and he said how he wanted to fire everybody.
I remember it. That was the same kind of deal. And, you know, the one thing that Mara has always said is that he learned from his father not to make those choices when he was really angry, because if he had made those choices Sunday night after the Jets game, then Monday morning, the Giants would have had a new GM. They would have had an entire new coaching staff. They might have had new janitors. They might have had new equipment guys. I don't know. They might have fired all the media, too.
If they could, I think they would have done that even before that loss. Who knows? But, Ed, all we can say, I guess, to Giant fans who are frustrated and you know, I hear from a lot of Giant fans. I'm sure you do as well. They say, look, what's the point? I don't want to read about this anymore. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to hear about it. This team is cooked. What, just in closing out the show, if you had to give those people a reason to keep tuning in, what would that be? Besides your awesome work, of course.
Well, yours too, Patty, but, you know. I mean, but that's not enough of a reason, but you know, it should be your awesome work, my awesome work. What else does anybody need? but listen, you know, the reality of it is you go back to week 3 of the season, Giants were 0-2 and Pat Shurmur made the correct decision. As much as you and I supported Eli Manning, you know, over the years, he made the correct decision to go to Daniel Jones. The reality of the situation is for the New York Giants, 2019 has always been about 2020 and 2021. It's always been about the future. So it's still about the future. And I still think despite the record, there are some pieces to feel good about. There is a young quarterback who could be a guy who could be there for the next 10 or 12 years. There's some good young pieces on offense with Slayton and Saquon Barkley and Will Hernandez and Evan Engram, if he can ever get healthy and stay healthy. There are some good young pieces on defense. So there are some things to feel good about going forward. Whether or not the Giants can supplement all of those pieces and can get the most out of those players to turn this thing around next year and start to win some of these games, that's the question. But I still think there are pieces to feel good about.
Well said. And like you and I have discussed many times, this roster didn't fall into a rut overnight. It took multiple years. Dave Gettleman, you know, and I know some people don't want to hear this, but Gettleman will probably get multiple years to try and fix it. And, you know, contrary to what a lot of people think, I think he's on the right track. He cleaned up the salary cap. He started to replenish some of the depth. There's still a lot more work to be done. There are mistakes that he's made along the way, but he's certainly, you know, owned up to them at least.
Yes, he has, Patty. You know, Jerry Reese used to say that you never bat 1,000 in personnel, and that's true. And Jerry didn't. Dave Gettleman hasn't been perfect, but Gettleman has done some things that were maybe contrary to what popular opinion said he should do, to what the media analysts said he should do. But I always look at it like, I would rather have a general manager who has his own beliefs, who does what he believes is right, rather than what Twitter tells him is the right thing to do.
Indeed. And, you know, better to be proactive. I mean, for all the times we, you know, and not just we in the media, but, fans sat there and said, why doesn't Jerry Reese trade up or trade down or do this or do that? Gettleman's doing all that stuff, and he's at least trying to move this team forward. Now, like you said, he's never going to be 100% right, but the effort's there, and you know, it's unfortunately, it's going to be trial and error. So, Edward, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Giant fans, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you are checking out Ed's work at Big Blue View and, of course, my work on the Giants Maven at si.com/NFL/Giants. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.